So our speaker today is Sivia Gover, and she is going to talk to us today about dreams. In her own life, she's found the importance of dreams, and she realized that dreams offer us essential information when sometimes it's kind of easy to dismiss our dreams. So she's a certified dream therapist, and she works with people and groups to help them find insight, meaning, and healing from their dreams. Today she'll share a bit about her own personal journey, her mindful approach to dreaming, and her belief that dreams can help us heal. She's a certified dream therapist and director of the Institute for Dream Studies, where she offers a certification in dream studies program. So please help me welcome Sivia.
Good morning.
Morning.
How did you all sleep?
Well.
Good? Nice. Yeah. Not anybody not so good?
Guilty.
Not so good. Guilty, yeah. How about dreams? Anybody dream last night? You remember them? No? Yes? Some yeses? Okay. How many of you, other than me right now, how many of you have had somebody ask you about your dreams in the past day or two? Asked you about how you're dreaming? Good. I had a feeling in this crowd we'd have some. But not a lot, right? So the interesting thing is that everybody dreams, right? The person who served you your coffee at whatever wonderful coffee shops they have here in Santa Fe, they dream, right? The president dreams. The people running against the president dream. Everybody dreams. Your dog dreams. Your cat dreams. Everybody's dreaming. And the funny thing is, nobody's really talking about it, or in my opinion, not nearly enough of us. I would say we talk about other taboo subjects, money, sex, more than we talk about dreams. And I want to change that. So I work as a dream professional, and I've made that my life, and you'll hear a little bit about why and how that happened. But I've always been a dreamer. I've been remembering my dreams and talking about them since I was a little girl. And I literally follow my dreams. And I invite others to do the same. So let me just start by telling you one of my dreams to give you an example of how this might work. Let me set the scene. This was almost exactly 10 years ago. My dad offered to gift me with a weekend of R&R, rest and relaxation, for my birthday, because he knew I'd been going through a very stressful time. And he wanted me to do something nice for myself. He meant to send me to a spa where I'd be pampered with pedicures and salt scrubs. I'd maybe have hours of sitting poolside, maybe with a flute of some fruit-infused sparkling water in my hand. But through a series of misunderstandings, I managed to book myself for a weekend in what turned out to be a yoga retreat center that was formerly an ashram and which was housed in an old Jesuit monastery. I had also enlisted a friend to join me for this weekend getaway, and we found ourselves in a sparse room that contained just two single beds, one of which was kind of shoved up under the sink. The bathroom was down the hall, and that was pretty much it. There were no fluffy robes, no plushy spa slippers, no pedicures, no salt scrubs, no swimming pool, and at first I was devastated. So there I was at the end of my first full day of yoga and meditation, not what I was expecting. And I'd kind of come to terms with the fact that I wasn't in a luxury spa. As I tucked myself into my little single bed, on the eve of my 43rd birthday. And as is my long habit at my birthday, I asked for a birthday dream. I prayed for a birthday dream, a dream that would give me guidance moving forward into my next year. I wanted a special dream. Since I had been going through such a hard time, I was hoping for something encouraging, something that might help me move through what I was going through. At the time, I had a teenage daughter who was testing her wings and my patience. That's an understatement. And meanwhile, my partner was suffering from a debilitating back injury and couldn't work. So our finances were stretched, our nerves were stretched, and my dad, seeing all this, had sent me to do something nice for myself. So I was hoping this dream was going to give me some sparkle of insight, but I did not get sparkle. What I got was pure fear. I got a nightmare, and it woke me with a jolt, with my heart beating so loudly in my chest, I thought it's going to wake my friend in the next bed. The dream, on first look, was nothing that special. It was a typical nightmare, the kind of dream people bring me all the time, of someone being chased. In this case, I was being chased through darkened alleys, past abandoned buildings, by an attacker who was going to kill me. But in this case, in addition to my pursuer, there was also, a little bit behind me and by my side, a cameraman recording it all. And in the dream, I knew that as long as that cameraman kept filming, the attacker couldn't kill me. So I'm running and running and trying to stay alive. And as I'm running on the side of the road, I pass by a young woman who I recognize from waking life. She was one of my students who I teach in a poetry class for teen moms. And this young woman in waking life is literally impoverished, poor, living in a neighborhood that's beset by violence, gang violence, poverty, drugs, all of that. And yet, in waking life, she's in this poetry class I teach for teen moms, and this young woman is a mystical poet. Okay, this was just her first chance to express that. So in the dream, I'm running from the attacker, I'm being filmed, and I run past Suhail. Like, wow, what's she doing here? So as I said, it was terrifying, this dream, and it shook me awake, and it's probably like 4 in the morning, and I don't want to wake up my roommate. I know there's no way I'm going back to sleep. So I go downstairs. What they did have at this retreat center was a whirlpool in the basement, in like the bowels of the building. So I decided I'll go sit in the tub and get out of my roommate's way. And while I'm down there, I think about the dream. I didn't need a dream dictionary to help me figure out what it was telling me. It was pretty clear and obvious, and some of you are probably percolating right now with ideas of what it might have meant. The attacker, I realized, was the personification of the danger I was in. Something was trying to kill me. Not literally, but my soul was being killed. My spirit was under attack. I wasn't finding time with all my family's problems for me, for my poetry, for my love of mystical things, for prayer, for any of that, for meditation or yoga. That was very far from anything. I wasn't doing any of that. The cameraman in the dream was reminding me that I have this inner witness. And if I could engage this inner witness, this part of me that looks after my creative soul, that keeps an eye on what my life and soul's purpose is, without that witness, my spirit would have this figurative death. And what about Suhail, the teen mom, the poet, who was impoverished? Clear enough, right? That was the part of myself that I wasn't feeding, that I was allowing to go hungry while I attended to everybody else's needs. I remember the feeling of being immersed in that hot bath in those silent moments while outside the window snow was swirling and dawn was waking up the world, and I suddenly felt so grateful for that nightmare. I was so grateful for being shown with such urgency what I needed to do and how important it was. So right then and there, I decided no matter what, no matter how dire everybody else's needs were, and they were dire, I was going to tend to myself, along with my home and my family and my extended family and all the other responsibilities I needed, the dream showed me, to recommit myself to myself. So I vowed to set aside 20 minutes a day for something that nourished my soul. It could be my newfound love from that weekend. I learned to love meditation and yoga. So it could be 20 minutes of one of those pursuits, or of recording my dreams and thinking about them, of drawing, of poetry. And I wanted to start right then. I was like reborn in that bathtub. So I wanted to start by recording the dream I just had. And I wanted to write it down in my journal. But here's the problem. I'd gotten so far from myself, I hadn't even packed a journal for my weekend away. I hadn't been keeping one. And that showed me in that moment how bad it had gotten. Because I've been a journal writer since I was a 12-year-old girl. And my mom's best friend gave me a journal, a little diary with a lock and key for my birthday. So now I realized I hadn't been doing two of the things that were dearest to my heart, journaling or paying attention to my dreams. So I said to myself, okay, as soon as the gift shop opens in the morning, a few hours from then, I'm going in and buying myself a journal. But as it turned out, I didn't need to. Because in an example of the magical way life starts working when you connect with your dreams, when you connect your conscious mind with the unconscious, when I got back to my room, by now my roommate was awake, my friend, and on my pillow was a gift-wrapped package with a beautiful bow and ribbon. And when I unwrapped it, I found that my friend had brought from Boston, where she was from, to me, a beautiful, guess, you got it, a beautiful journal, spiral bound, you know, just what I would have loved to have. You know, I take those synchronicities as a little thumbs up from the universe, right? You're on the right track. We're connected now. We're working together now. You're listening to me. I'm listening to you. You know, I've been waiting for you, and now you're here. So I did it. I guarded those 20 minutes. I took that soul-nourishing time. I guarded it as if it were a precious jewel, which it is. That little window of time I spend on my yoga mat, on my meditation cushion, with my journal, with my markers, with a book of poetry, whatever it is, that has become essential. And I want to say for all of these 10 years since, and I hope it will remain forever, and if not, I know another dream will shake me awake, I guard that time. So in the years since, my daughter has grown up, moved out on her own, and become an amazing young woman. My partner at the time, pretty soon after I got back, decided it was time for her to move on, and thus for me too. I left one job, I got another, I got laid off, I returned to the first job. My life was in turmoil. But from all of that chaos and all of that loss, there was this little open window, and I believe because of that dream and because of the new habits that I started and the way I became connected with signs and synchronicities and my dreaming mind, I became a dream therapist. I started to study my passion for dreams. I started to go deeper into it, and now I lead workshops. I work with people one-on-one on their dreams. And I've also been working on creating an international community of dreamers through 350 Dreamers. We dream together on occasion about four times a year. 800 or more of us now dream for global healing. So I found ways to bring my passion for dreaming into the world in service of others, in service of the environment and the planet. And so now when people ask me if I think dreams can help them change, I emphatically say yes. So that birthday dream was hardly the first one that offered me guidance and insight. As I said, I've been a dreamer since I was a little girl, and they've always been sort of a magic mirror or a guiding shadow for me. So awake in the world of sunlight and logic and linear time and space, I measure my progress by my accomplishments, by graduations, bank balances, promotions. But at night, in the world of darkness and in the glow of the stars and the moon, my dreams show me the progress of my soul. They offer course corrections and inspiration and wisdom in an endlessly creative array of forms and formats and stories. And I live my life in conversation with these, between these two realms, and that's what I invite others to do too. The people, the locations, the concerns from waking life appear in my dreams, and the imagery, wisdom, humor, and guidance from my dreams spill into my waking life. And again, when I keep that current flowing and that conversation going, things change, things evolve more quickly. So I've been guided by my dreams on everything from what jewelry to buy, to what house to buy, what relationships to pursue, what relationships are in trouble and need attention. My dreams regularly offer me nutritional advice on what I should and shouldn't be eating. But that one dream I just shared with you, I shared because it's almost a textbook illustration of a lot of qualities of dreams and a lot of the things they can do for us. So first, you know the expression, ask and ye shall receive? That dream shows us that, right? I asked. I think life's too short to wait for a dream to come and guide us. Ask for it. That's what I did. I asked for a birthday dream. I asked for a meaningful dream. And I got it. So just like awake, if we pay attention to our thoughts or if we don't pay attention to them, they're coming through. They're streaming through us whether we pay attention to them or not, right? But when we start to really become mindful of our thoughts, we can direct them better. We can choose what we're going to pay attention to, which thoughts we're going to follow, which thoughts are helpful or harmful, right? Same with dreaming. When we start to pay attention to the flow of dreams that's coming through, because they're coming through whether we pay attention or not, we can start to use their guidance wisely. The dream also showed dream language, right? I went through it with you. I showed what each part of that dream represented, the cameraman, the attacker. And as we get to know our dreams, we learn our dream language. And I tell you that dream today also because it shows the healing power of nightmares. I believe and I preach that all dreams come to us for health and for healing. They're all good dreams. They're all there to give us their medicine, so to speak. Bad dreams sometimes challenge that belief in us, but as you can see from this really scary dream, they do come to help and heal if only we will listen. And often they take on a scary disguise to shock us into paying attention. So when we stop to think about it also, I think we can say the same is true when we're awake, when we're thinking about nightmares and how they can heal us and serve us if we pay attention and turn toward them instead of run away. Awake, it's true too. It's the divorce, it's the illness, it's the loss of a loved one that so often, if we're courageous enough to turn toward it, to receive the experience, to not distract ourselves or run away, that teach us the most. So cutting off ourselves off from our dreams is cutting ourselves off from a really important part of ourselves. My birthday dream and the unfolding of my life as a result has been a gift. It was a gift wrapped in darkness, and fear, but when I opened it, it was among the best presents I've ever received. And I share it with you today in the hopes that it will inspire you to receive your dreams too and open them up, whether they come in brightly colored packages or not. The Talmud tells us an uninterpreted dream is like an unread letter from God. So if you want to turn toward your dreams or reconnect with them, give you a little homework, I invite you to put a pencil or pen by your bed tonight and write down your intention to remember your dreams. You might be rewarded with one on your first try, or it might take several nights or even weeks. But over time, if you keep letting your dreams know that you're listening, they will start to talk in a way that you can remember. Often when I'm done talking about dreams, people have lots and lots of questions for me. I'm going to hang around for a little while after this. Feel free to ask me. Also, I'm the easiest person in the world to find on Google. No one else that I know of has the name Tzivia Gover. So feel free to contact me if you have more questions than we're able to answer today. But for now, I'm simply going to wish for you that you may dream and be well.